Wellness begins where play, pleasure, and the parasympathetic meet. You were born to be you, and you were born to be well. Your body is always trying to find its way back to health. Now, here's the host of Your Healing Playground with Dr. Tina Coopersmith.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, my friends, wherever you are in the world. Welcome, welcome, welcome to Your Healing Playground, my podcast. I am your host, Dr. Tina Coopersmith, your witchy doctor, your change advocate. And we are on the Inspired Choices Network, where we hope to inspire you to choose wisely, to make your life bigger, better, just more bold. And today I have with me Nancy Friedman, the happiness mentor and author. And she teaches, coaches, speaks all about happiness. And I know, you know, everybody talks about a goal in life to be happy. But what does happiness really mean? And how do you get there? And I have my thoughts on this, but Nancy's written an entire book on this. There are people I know who take courses on happiness, who there's like majors in college now, I think, on happiness, or professors teaching happiness. That elusive quality of happiness that we think we are going to be happy when, and yet happiness is a choice. And I teach this, I am learning it. I love it. And it is a choice. And Nancy coaches to that. So welcome, my friend. And
thank you.
On a Monday morning.
Thank you, Tina, so much for having me here. It's such fun to chat with you. And as you so aptly say, it is a lifelong process. We're always learning it. We never get there. You know, that was a fallacy. That's something that, you know, we were brainwashed to believe that when we get something, then we get happy. It's a process that we're always, always working on to find out more about ourselves, to understand what really makes us tick, to get to that point of feeling truly happy.
So true. So true. I had an episode last week. I was in a yoga class, and all of a sudden I had this weird sensation, and I called it sadness. And then I was like, I realized my brain was trying to figure out why I was sad. And it was like, no, I'm just having a sensation.
Yes.
Yeah. And so let's explain to my audience kind of, you know, I know you talk about your 7 steps to happiness. And we're going to take a lot of time, I hope, to delve into all 7 steps. But I want to start with you, because Your Healing Playground, I always start with the you. How did you get to be in this place of being a happiness mentor? Most 3-year-olds don't wake up and say, hi, I think I want to be a coach to coach happiness. Like, that's not usually on the bucket list of careers, right?
No.
Should be.
Well, it could be.
Right.
Yeah, I'd have to
say.
So
how'd you get there?
Well, my bucket list started out with wanting to be, you know, dolphin coach.
I love it. How did you get to that?
That was probably too many flipper shows, but that's dating myself.
Okay. I love it.
But it was a long journey. You know, I think that, as I said, we're kind of taught to believe that happiness is something that we should expect. And as a kid, you know, you hope that you grow up in an environment where happiness is part of your everyday life. Yeah, I mean, that's not typically the case, really. But, you know, I think that we practice over time and we learn what makes us tick. And if we do that self-reflection and we have an opportunity to do it at certain times in our lives, then we wake up to the piece that helps us understand us better. And when we understand ourselves better, then we're better able to feed our individual needs. So I had a few wake-up calls in my life. You know, I lost my younger sister when I was in my early 20s. She died of natural causes. And it came as a huge wake-up call to me that life wasn't, you know, I wasn't moving on the path that I thought I was going to be moving on. There were going to be curveballs. Mm-hmm. And that I needed to understand how to navigate those. and how I was going to deal with me, because I'm the only one I have control over anyway. And so that was kind of a moment to kind of do that introspection. And I've had a few more of those over time. And each time I feel like I learn a little bit more about me and about what really makes us as humans prosper, survive.
Oh, I like that word, prosper, as opposed to happiness, right? And when you look at plants, right, plants are blooming.
Yes.
They're manifesting and expressing themselves by blooming flowers, by producing fruit,
right,
by opening up to the sun. They're expressing their essence. And
that's a beautiful analogy. And I think of, you know, if you think on events you've attended, whether it's a fancy party or it's a family gathering, that analogy aligns so well with when you see somebody walk into the room. They bring that blossom, that opening spirit into the room, and they impact the room in a huge way.
Yeah.
You know, that is that happiness oozing out. You can tell that person is joyful. They're enjoying their self-experience. They're not necessarily feeding off the rest of the room. They're bringing that beautiful
Ooh.
Energy into the room. Now, you can feed off the rest of the room, but it comes from inside first. You have to have that inner joy, that inner spirit, that true love of every single experience you encounter, to bring that, to be the blossoming, to be the flower that walks into the room.
Yeah, I thought, oh, I my brain is percolating so much on that.
I love it. I love it.
And I'm curious for you how having what I would call negativity, right? Negative events,
right?
Right. Actually springboarded you into more aim. And I thought about this morning. The tension is like the springboard of the arrow before it flies forward. And I guess all negativity can be, anything that's a challenge can be an opportunity for our growth,
right,
and our evolution, right? So it's the tension before we let go and soar. And but I don't know that I had any thoughts about that in my 20s.
Well,
right?
I don't think that we necessarily consciously process it until somebody pokes us and asks us that question. What was it that made you change? I don't think that if you asked me, you know, near the passing of my sister, whether or not I was actively changing my course, I would have been able to verbalize that. I don't think I had that inside me to come out. I think that became more obvious to me later in retrospect. And I think that happens to many people, because I love talking to people who have made big changes in their lives. I mean, most of us have, but when you can reflect back on the change and you say, well, what made you do it? And sometimes you're forced, you know, somebody, you lose your job and you're forced, or your spouse needs to move and you move to, you know, a different place, even though you weren't really choosing to. But when you choose to make a change, what is it that pushes you to do that? And I think there is something that pushes us, but a lot of the time, I don't think we realize it's pushing us until we look back and say, ah, that was the thing that did it. You know, I think when, in my case with my sister, it was, oh my goodness, life doesn't have a longevity that I've been thinking it did.
Yeah.
Life could end like that. And in your 20s, you know, we all think that we're going to live forever, really, like well past
Correct.
Anything normal. So I think it was a wake up call to say, I actually have to make good use of my time. I have to do something different. You know, later in life, when I had other curveballs thrown at me, it's I've reflected afterwards to say, what was it that made me change or made me see it differently? But I think in all cases, it pushes us to reflect that in our everyday life, we get so wound up on just doing what we need to do. We don't consciously reflect. We don't consciously know why we did a particular thing or choose to do it differently going forward. So I think it is those big moments that either push us to the bottom of the barrel. You know, we're feeling so low that we are forced to make a change because it's so bad being at the bottom of the barrel.
Nowhere to
Or,
go but up.
right, you're gonna go, okay, I gotta change. So I do think there is something, but I don't think you feel it at the time. I don't think you have enough bandwidth to be introspective when it's happening to you.
I think
So.
you're right. I mean, I can look at my life and I'm definitely way more introspective now of recognizing the moments that made me
Right.
that, in a lot of ways you fight those moments of like, why did this happen to me?
Yes. Yeah.
It's hard to find the positivity when you're in the middle of the muck,
Right. Well, and
right?
I think back, you know, I use this silly example with my son oh so many times. You know, when my kids were little, we used to go skiing early in the morning, and the kids would be in the back seat, and you know, the parents are in the front seat holding on to their coffees, wondering why we got up this early. And I remember one particular morning, my son going, "Oh my goodness." And I'm like, did we forget something? Did we just, you know, squeeze our fingers in the door? What? And he's like,
Yes.
"Look at the sun. It looks gorgeous. It's beautiful this morning." And we were getting to see the sunrise out of the front of the car. And I thought, oh, you know, it is those special little moments that
Yeah.
in our best childlike mode, we appreciate at exactly what it can be, instead of
Yeah.
being so focused on what we're not getting enough sleep, or we should have stayed in bed, or we should have prepared better, or whatever else. We're caught either in the past or in the future, and finding a way to get more present and really enjoying those moments really does bring that sunshine into our day.
Oh, I
And I
like
think
that.
it's learning those pieces, that learning how to do that and saying, ah, that was a magic moment, and holding on to it, reflecting on it, sharing it. You know, all of those things really do make it easier to carry joy around all the time. So.
Yeah, and it's funny. I just did a this morning a Tony Robbins priming,
Oh, yes. Yeah.
and in his priming, it's a and I we I start my morning with breath work now, and it has started to change my life, getting out of my head into my body first. But his priming thing is breath work, and then he starts with memories. Bringing to mind gratitude. And he's like, this is your life.
It is.
Remember these magical moments. And then he has you envision future moments as if they're now. And again, bringing to this moment right now, past, present, and future, because that's your life. And on that note, we're going to take our first break. Please come back. You're listening to Your Healing Playground. I am your host, Dr. Tina Cooper-Smith. We are on the Inspired Choices Network, and I have with me Nancy Friedman, and we're going to learn her tools all about how to get back to happy because happiness is a choice. And so let's take our first break.
Wonderful. Thank you, Tina.
Your Healing Playground is the space where science, spirit, and sensation dance together. Your host, Dr. Tina Cooper-Smith, physician, coach, healer, and play advocate, returns weekly to remind you that healing isn't just about pills and protocols. Western medicine is just one of many healing modalities. True wellness is about energy, emotion, pleasure, and play. On this show, Dr. Tina explores the playground of your body, mind, heart, and soul. From neuroscience to sensuality, from root chakra to real talk, she'll share tools, stories, and soulful strategies to shift you out of fear and back into joy. Because if you're alive and breathing, your story is still unwritten. and you deserve to write it with love. Together, you'll learn to breathe, feel, and play your way back to wellness because you are your best healer.
I love that, Tina.
Are you a subject matter expert? Are you here to share your expertise with an audience waiting to hear from you in only the way you can deliver? Are you ready to have your voice amplified across the airwaves? Inspired Choices Network has a global radio platform streaming to millions of people across the world. Professionally produced and supported by an accomplished team every step of the way, you can broadcast from anywhere in the world, knowing your voice matters, and we ensure it is delivered with ease and efficiency. Eager to hear your message, the world awaits. Contact us today to become an Inspired Choices Network radio host. Email becomeahost@inspiredchoicesnetwork.com.
This is your healing playground with Dr. Tina Coopersmith. To participate in the program, join the live studio audience in our chat room at inspiredchoicesnetwork.com. You can also send an email to info@womensreproduction.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back, my friends. Once again, you are listening to Your Healing Playground. I am your host, Dr. Tina Coopersmith, and we are on the Inspired. Just want to remind everybody that I have a book by the same name, Your Healing Playground, How Play, Pleasure, and Connection Can Get You Back to Your Best Life. So please, Your Healing Playground, find it on Amazon and support me, support this podcast, let your friends know. And once again today, I am here with her book is The Happiness Mentor, and she indeed is a coach all about happiness. And now that we're back from break, share with us, you have 7 tips to happiness. Is that right? Is that what you talk about?
I talk about 7 tips. I'm sure there are many, many more, but I've chosen to narrow it down to 7 tips. And I like
one
to
for every day.
There we go. But I like to keep it small and easy and repeatable. And I think that that is really the key to success in any change. You know, first of all, you have to decide you want to change. I mean, that's a big piece of the puzzle, because until you decide you want to change, it's not happening. You know, and I know from our lives and lives interacting with our families and our friends, when somebody says you should do, it doesn't usually make the top of the list. You know, somebody else telling me to do it, I'm resisting. You know, if I'm challenged to do it, now that's a slightly different feeling. But when I decide I want to do it, yeah, there's no stopping me. You know, when it's coming from really inside of me and I want to make that change, it doesn't matter whether it's weight loss or adding a better nutrition into my lifestyle or changing the way I get up in the morning, as you referenced, doing your Tony Robbins thing. You know, that breathing routine, that's so much better to spend in the first 5 minutes getting up rather than scrolling through today's news, you know?
Yeah.
Which one do you think is going to make you happier? Even if you've never experienced Tony Robbins, if you have no idea about breathing or what priming is, you know that looking at the news is not going to make you feel happy. It's like a slam dunk there. Anything else is going to make your day start better.
I had to change my life. Well, I shouldn't say that. I chose to change my life.
There you go. That's the choice.
I made a choice to change my life. And I remember the first thing I did when I was living alone was wake up to music, which is what I did when I was solo my whole life from, I don't know, probably 5th grade until I actually was partnered.
Right.
And then I still was listening to music, and he would chastise me to turn it off because I wake up to NPR and the news. And the first thing I did was go back to music, and it changed me.
Well, I think that particularly music, it has an impact on us at our core. It brings us back to a historical moment. We register where we were and how we feel. That music brings a different essence into us. You know, any particular song can take us from, elated to depressed in a split second. Yeah. It's so important. And to have somebody else critique what you're listening to, well, that's kind of like critiquing kind of your memories. And I feel like that's not okay. You know, you can tell me, I don't want to listen to what you're listening to. That's fine. I can turn it down. I can change it. But you can't tell me what I choose to listen to. That's not okay.
Well, that's another whole story.
Right.
Story we for another that. Day.
That's another day. Let me
right.
tell
Let's
you.
Let's go back to the seven steps right. of happiness.
So the first one I think is really pretty important. And you don't have to pay attention to them in any particular order, but I like to consider language as being number one, because we speak to ourselves, and we all know we have that little voice in our head who often speaks in the intonation, the language usage, or the accent of significant family members. We won't mention any names there, but so I think language is really important. If we can rewrite the language we speak to ourselves and the language we use on others, it changes yeah. everything. You know, yeah. that if you hear that voice in a different way, with a positive tone rather than a negative tone, I mean, yes, it's great if you can quiet that voice and just listen to your soul. That's another step altogether. But let's change the language you're using. Let's change the language you use when you speak to somebody else. Speak to somebody else with a positive rather than a critical. Whether it's your mechanic or your two-year-old, you know, whatever you're doing, if you can just turn that voice ever so slightly, the message can be exactly the same, the intonation, the sound. So language, super important. The second one we've already sort of talked about that I say it's really important, it's inward reflection. You need to take the time in every day, in every moment, to do a little bit of self-reflection, rather than just doing that verbal diarrhea that we so often default to, is you got to think about what I'm feeling at the moment, what I'm going to say, why I'm about to say what I'm going to say. Is this going to improve the experience? So think about what's going to come out of my mouth. Is that going to make my day any better? Do I need to say it?
When you talk about inward reflection for our friends, some people are very resistant to the word meditation, right? Which is an inward reflection. It's just not standard, like brushing our teeth, which I think it should be.
It should be, but you and I both have had exposure to people who can teach meditation to us novices and still get through to us. I try to teach those who are opposed to the idea of meditation, that it's actually not, you know, the movie vision of what it, you don't need to be a Buddhist monk to be meditating. You know, my learning meditation was I would sit in my hot tub in the backyard and listen to the little voice in my head and try and get it to shut up. You know, you spent too long in here. You need to go in and do your whatever, you know.
Right.
And I would just listen to the birds, try to tune out the little voice. And that would be my beginning meditation. You know, I grew to having some audio on my phone, do a 5-minute meditation. Sometimes I'll do it when I'm sitting in the sauna. It's just a way to distract myself from the litany of conversation that's going on in my head. And if you move past listening to the birds or listening to somebody else guide you, the next level is just being quiet, you know, just learning to be quiet. And it may take years to get to the point of just being quiet, but the beauty of just being quiet is not just inward reflection where you're thinking about yourself. It's you're letting the rest of your brain do work that it normally doesn't get to do. And you percolate, as you just use that term, your brain percolates all sorts of wonderful things when you just let it be a little bit quiet. And you get to do inward reflection that is not conscious work. So I talk about inward reflection as a conscious activity. Thinking,
I like that.
Spirit, and then also as an unconscious activity that happens more in a meditative state.
And I remind folks, I really like the way you call it inward reflection, because it takes that scary word of meditation away. And I know, like for me, a lot of times if I go for a hike or a run or a walk or whatever, I can get away from the inner voice.
Right.
Right. I'm moving, and so it doesn't have to be stationary too. And I also remind some people, when you're working, even children, you're working on a math problem, or you're trying to remember someone's name, right? And
right.
the harder you think about it, you can't remember.
Right, right.
Way, do something else. And all of a sudden the answer comes, the name comes, and that is your brain. When you let go of the consciousness, the
right.
brain is still working. So I love that inner reflection. So
and I think, you know, when you talk about running, I think the other piece that happens, you know, for those who are very active, and we live in a society of people who are driven to be incredibly active, there are moments, whether it's you're running or you're at the top of the ski hill or you're walking or jogging through a forest, and you get that just beautiful feeling. Like it's, oh my goodness, that view is exquisite. Or, I just did it. You know, I got to the point that I wanted to. Or you smell in the pine trees. There's some chemistry that occurs within us that lifts us to a different level. So
100%.
With athletes, so often it's reaching a magic point in their activity. I think of that as also an opportunity for that inward reflection. It's in those moments where you have that insight that, oh, the world is a beautiful place, or I am blessed, or I'm so grateful, or I did it. You know, I got there. I think that those are also inward reflection moments. And the beauty is that some of us get to stack them and have more of them closer together. And that kind of builds towards happiness a lot better. So
I agree. I think, and athletes, myself included, and all those doers, myself included,
right,
learning to sit and not do and just be is a skill that we all should be cultivating. And again, I don't want to put the word should,
but
because you'll resist. So I want to invite instead of should. And it is so hard for me. It is not easy. And the more I do it, the more I think I can access what is offered.
So I would say, you know, in that athletic spirit, that we speak about, let's say we're going for a hike and we're going with active, energetic people and they want to make it to the top, right? So, and I've been in this position more than once where we're hiking and I'm like, oh, can I just stop and take a picture? And they're like, oh, got to go. For me, it's just as beautiful three quarters of the way up as it's going to be at the top. I want to stop and I want to see that moment. Now, I don't want to slow us down. I appreciate that there's a timeline associated to the activity, but I do want to enjoy each minute of it. I also wanted to enjoy just the experience of getting up there. And then when we get to the top, let's not turn around and go right back down again. Let's take the moment to say the reason we were going up here is because it's a beautiful view. Now, we could take that analogy and use it in so many different ways. So whether it's a project that you're working on at work and you're working to get it done by a deadline, enjoy the benchmarks that you make. Celebrate with your team. Enjoy those landmarks. And then when you get to you've made it, celebrate it. Don't just say, okay, next project. Enjoy the moment. So that kind of leads to my number three pieces a little bit. It's that we have to understand those emotions and to reflect that the emotions fill up our life. As you said, you know, in your yoga class, sadness, you have to recognize that was a little bit of sadness. It was just a moment. Recognizing it doesn't mean it has to be all day. I'm going to just live in that moment of sadness. It's okay. We don't always have to be happy. You know, when we're disappointed, it's okay to be disappointed. You didn't get what you were expecting. You can be disappointed.
Feel the feels. And on that note, we're going to take our second break. So we've had three things. Summarize the three for us right before break so the brain can percolate them.
I love it. So language, understand what words are coming out of your mouth, but what words are happening inside your head. Number two, inward reflection. Spend some time understanding what those words mean and how you're processing them. And then emotions. It all is wrapped together. What emotions are you feeling? What's it making you feel? And how do you take that into the world? So those are our three.
First three.
Language,
come back.
Inward reflection and emotions.
Please come back after break so we can get the next four. I am with Nancy Friedman, the Happiness Mentor. We are on the Your Healing Playground podcast. I am your host, Dr. Tina Coopersmith, and we are on the Inspired Choices Network. We will be right back with more happiness tips.
Your Healing Playground is the space where science, spirit, and sensation dance together. Your host, Dr. Tina Coopersmith, physician, coach, healer, and play advocate, returns weekly to remind you that healing isn't just about pills and protocols. Western medicine is just one of many healing modalities. True wellness is about energy, emotion, pleasure, and play. On this show, Dr. Tina explores the playground of your body, mind, heart, and soul. From neuroscience to sensuality, from root chakra to real talk, she'll share tools, stories, and soulful strategies to shift you out of fear and back into joy. Because if you're alive and breathing, your story is still unwritten, and you deserve to write it with love. Together, you'll learn to breathe, feel, and play your way back to wellness, because you are your best healer.
How wonderful would it be to carry your favorite Inspired Choices Network host with you throughout your day? Well, now you can. Inspired Choices Network now has its very own mobile app. Our free app offers live streaming shows, along with thousands of podcasts and TV episodes. Our shows cover a wide variety of topics. Whether you're waking up with us, carrying us through the day, and taking us to bed with you, we're always here for you to enjoy. We're easy to find. Just search for Inspired Choices Network in the Apple App Store or Google Play Store.
This is Your Healing Playground with Dr. Tina Coopersmith. To participate in the program, join the live studio audience in our chat room at inspiredchoicesnetwork.com. You can also send an email to info@womensreproduction.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back, everybody. Once again, you are listening to Your Healing Playground. I am your host, Dr. Tina Coopersmith. We are on the Inspired Choices Network. If you are enjoying this podcast today or any day, please, please, 5 stars, Spotify and Apple, share it with friends, subscribe, don't miss an episode. Go over to Facebook and Instagram and share my little blurbs with friends. Let's get these messages out to the universe, especially today when I'm with Nancy Friedman, the Happiness Mentor, and we are looking about how to choose happiness, how to bring happiness into our lives, how to prosper with the right choices. So she has 7 tips and tools to get to happiness. Once you eat the first three, and then we're going to go to the next four.
Right. So we talked about language, inward reflection, and then we also touched on our emotions. And just to kind of layer on top of those three, the one that I love that I don't know a lot of people talk about is what I call assumption awareness. Mm-hmm. So we walk through life from our very early days to our last dying breath with assumptions about what is going to happen next, how people are going to interface with us, and how we're viewed in the world, and probably many other assumptions, good and bad. But until someone close to you enlightens you that your assumption is not reality, we believe our assumptions are reality, and that whether we are feeling hard done by or blessed, those assumptions impact the way we walk through our world. So I think it's a special skill to learn how to recognize the assumptions you're taking into a space.
I love that.
I'll use a silly example. For years, I have felt that when I take my car to the mechanic, as a female, I may be viewed as not having enough knowledge to be able to deal directly with the mechanic. Trying to put that in as objective terms as I can, but that has clouded my interface with a mechanic. Whether it's that I come in on the defensive or whether I come in looking ineffectual, doesn't really make a difference, but I bring that attitude with me. However, once again, I'm going to use my son as an example. He went through works in an entirely different business now, but he went through a automotive mechanic program, and he was my resource many, many times on servicing vehicles or purchasing vehicles. And he knows more than I'll ever. He's probably forgotten more than I'll ever know, but, and he's only in his late 20s, but he gave me a confidence, even though I didn't have his knowledge, to approach that world differently. So my assumption walking in to have my car serviced became entirely different. And maybe it's attitude, and maybe there are a lot of other layers, but I think that assumption awareness is a key piece in how we interface with anybody, anytime, no matter what our interaction is going to be, whether it's our partner in life, whether it's a family member, or whether it's a business partner. The assumption we bring into that space, if we recognize what assumption we're coming in with, we have the potential, again, choice, to manage that assumption.
I think
so. We have to reflect first.
Yeah, I think that is so critical. And, you know, Juan Miguel Diaz on the Four Agreements, one of them is don't make assumptions. And of course, The Odd Couple, I'm dating myself, but there was an entire episode, don't, you know, assume, don't
right.
make an ass of you and me.
Right.
And I think we forget that our reality isn't everybody else's reality. Right. It is ours, our brain. I learned this once from a coach. We delete, we distract, we distort, like right. The New York map. Oh. New Yorkers have a map that New York is the center of the universe. Texas has their own map. They're the center of the universe, right?
Right.
United States have a map. Like we're right. The only country in the world. Like, right. No, these are all wrong assumptions, right?
Right. And, well, even the way the map is made, like this yes. might be enlightening to some people, but it's not actually made to scale. You know, the world map that we look
and
at.
And it's flat, not round.
Right. It's not made to scale. There are pieces of that map that are not proportioned as they are actually in real time. Anyway, that's yeah. an entire aside. But, you know.
But don't make assumptions. And can't. And notice when you are making assumptions, because we can't.
Right. You can't get rid of them. They're part right. of who we are. We can work
correct.
On them, and we can work on being more open to information, but we come into the world with assumptions. It's our reality. We grew up right. in a particular environment. It's not the same as everybody else's environment. It can't be. It can be very similar to our next door neighbors, but it's not going to be the same. So you yeah. have to understand what you became accustomed to, you know. And you know, in the silly example, we know that we were probably told as kids, this stays in the house. You know, this is our reality. We don't share this with anybody else, you know? So lots of families have this, oh, shh, we don't talk about that outside. This is our space.
Right. Interesting.
But knowing that, knowing right. that my reality is different than somebody else's reality, it's important to recognize that and say, okay, how does that impact what I bring into the space? How does that change how I'm going to interface with somebody?
Right. And what you bring in and then what you hear back too, because you're filtering it
right.
through your lens.
Right.
So it goes both ways, what you're putting out and let's in the nature of time, let's move on. Right. So that's number four. Right. And I love that, the assumption.
Right. So
and keep going. Let's go.
The next one I talk about is focus. So where you put your focus is very important. Am I going to focus on what I need? Am I going to focus on what the other person needs? Am I going to focus on being grateful? Am I going to focus on being sad in this moment? Understanding where your focus is going to change everything about how you walk into the room. You come home from work at the end of the day. Are you going to leave your stuff behind? You're going to bring it into the room. No, it's a focus. You make a conscious decision when you cross over that hearth, whether you're interfacing with your golden retriever who accepts you unconditionally, or maybe your toddlers or your spouse or your partner, no matter what you bring in is felt by the person who is receiving it. Even the golden retriever knows the difference. So pay attention to where your focus is when you walk into that space. Take the 2 seconds to recognize it. And if you feel you have the capacity to do so, switch your focus to something different. That takes practice, but being aware of it first is the big first step. And then we talked about this one a little bit. This is my next one. It's about being present. So a lot of our focus is based on regret in the past or planning in the future. And we miss out on being present.
And presence is a gift.
It's a gift, but it's really the only thing we have.
Correct.
We haven't figured out how to travel back in time. And if somebody knows that, I'm curious, because I think it would be really interesting to be able to do that, whether it's going to see the dinosaurs or meeting my grandparents as an adult. But we can't change the past. We have no control. We can't take back the words we said. We can't take back the experiences we've been part of. We can't take back anything from the past. So regret, for me, is only a tool if you're going to make a change in your behavior. And in terms of the future, well, I actually don't have any control. You know, I have no control over what's going to happen. We think we do.
It's an illusion.
We think it's an illusion. We think we're going to graduate high school and we're going to go on and do X, Y, or Z. We think we're going to get married and it's going to be perfect for 100 years. We think we're going to live forever, which we talked about. We are not going to live forever. That's the spoiler alert.
Right.
We haven't figured this out yet. We are all going to die sometime. We Tony Robbins is probably going to last until he's 130 or so, but the rest of us may not last that long. And the key is we want to last at our best. We don't want to be, vegetating. So we can't do the future. We can't do the past. What we've got is right now. So why not make this moment in time the very best moment? Because if it was our truly last moment, we would get rid of all that garbage. We would leave it all behind and we would put every best energy into this. We would take back all those nasty things we said. We'd say sorry to all the people we need to say sorry to. We would do it differently. So live it like it really is your last moment. Don't regret. Don't spend too much time looking forward. And I'm not perfect at any of these things. I just have put little pieces into practice. And it's the little steps along the way that make it easier to do it. And I have to catch myself all the time on all of these things. Don't think for a second it's an easy path. I've been doing it my whole life. So it's the little tiny things that make it easier to stack them and to get better at it, to make them habits instead of hard work. So there's one more piece in the puzzle, in the 7. And that's my belief in what I said there, the small pieces. I call it micro actions. It is the teeny tiny things. And if you say, well, I do small things, I'm like, no, make it so easy that you think it's too easy to count.
I like that. Too easy to count.
It's one small change. It's too easy. You say, oh, well, I'll do it. I'm like, make it so easy that you can't fail.
Can't not do it.
You can't not do it. Mm-hmm. My silly example is, you know, we all say we're going to exercise more. So in January, you know, the gym membership goes through the roof. Everybody joins the gym. And by February, you know, it's empty again. But I say to people, if you really want to go to the gym, and back to my first piece, is you actually have to really want to do it. But if you really want to do it, and you had trouble on the first Monday in January going, well, then on the Tuesday, reflect why you didn't go on the Monday, that inward reflection. Why didn't I go? What was it? What were the excuses I came up with? Can I poke holes in those excuses? Were they legit? If they were legit excuses, how can I do it differently? How can I get to the gym? It's too hard to wake up early in the morning. Well, don't go. Go at lunchtime. Go in the evening. Find some other way around it. But if you're still having difficulty going, reward yourself with the little pieces. Just drive to the gym.
I love it. And we are going to take our break on micro actions, because we need a micro action. Some people might need a bathroom break. So let's let our friends stay blossoming, prospering, and happy as we take our last break. You are listening to Your Healing Playground. I am your host, Dr. Tina Coopersmith, and we are on the Inspired Choices Network. Please come back as we summarize these micro steps and all 7 steps, one for every day of the week, one for every minute, so you can be the happiest that you choose to be.
Your Healing Playground is the space where science, spirit, and sensation dance together. Your host, Dr. Tina Coopersmith, physician, coach, healer, and play advocate, returns weekly to remind you that healing isn't just about pills and protocols. Western medicine is just one of many healing modalities. True wellness is about energy, emotion, pleasure, and play. On this show, Dr. Tina explores the playground of your body, mind, heart, and soul. From neuroscience to sensuality, from root chakra to real talk, she'll share tools, stories, and soulful strategies to shift you out of fear and back into joy. Because if you're alive and breathing, your story is still unwritten, and you deserve to write it with love. Together, you'll learn to breathe, feel, and play your way back to wellness, because you are your best healer. This is Your Healing Playground with Dr. Tina Coopersmith. To participate in the program, join the live studio audience in our chat room at inspiredchoicesnetwork.com. You can also send an email to info@womensreproduction.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back, everybody. Once again, we are on the Your Healing Playground podcast. I am your host, Dr. Tina Coopersmith. We are live on the Inspired Choice. Please follow me at Dr. Tina Plays. I'm going to be rolling out a coaching community group to help us with mind, body, heart, and spirit, getting back to blossoming, expressing purposefulness, happiness. Again, share the podcast with your friends and share my book, Your Healing Playground. And now, once again, I have this amazing guest, Nancy Friedman, the happiness mentor, giving us her 7 steps to choosing happiness, because happiness is a choice. It's not a default. And yet, I want to gift you, it is a little bit of a default. And I'd love you to approach this. There's a book called The Existential Kink. And there's a coach of mine, Shiraz, who talks about reality addiction. And our bodies, not necessarily our minds, but it is, it's our subconscious mind. Our body is designed to actually get back to a pleasurable state. And so when we're not feeling happy, when we're not feeling pleasure, the kink in the hose, the you know, where is the hose crimped, is where is our body actually getting pleasure in the sadness, in the anger, in the rage. And we only have a few minutes left, about 5 minutes, because we've talked. So I'm actually just going to leave that out there. Where are we addicted to our own reality? We get our dopamine, our oxytocin, our serotonin, and our endorphins. That is our dosing internally from how we're feeling. And so sometimes it's a choice. Stay angry, sad, or mad, because we have a level of dosing of happiness in that. So it's a choice if you don't really want to be there.
I agree with you, Tina. I think that it is a choice. And some of us do get a dose from being angry or from being sad. And I've been in some of those places.
Yeah.
I think we all have.
We all and have.
I just have to say that being in the happy space, it's so much better hit. It's just so much better.
Right. It's a flow state of the body.
It's a flow state.
And, versus kinked state.
Right. And I think what there's this other magic piece that I know you recognize, that when you're in that state, what comes to you might feel like luck or amazing interactions or all the right people. But when you get to that flow state, I don't think it's luck. I think it's, I'll just say it's the universe provides this magic energy. And whether it's something we have the skill to tap into or that we're just open to receiving, that's up for debate. But there is something to be said for being in that state and how life unfolds for you when you're there.
Out there about heart-mind coherence and how it connects us to the universe and the universe force field, and we can then magnetize stuff that is there for us,
right.
But it's been hidden from us, and we've been taught happiness just happens and flow just happens, and it isn't. We have to align heart-mind through breath, through stuff. So I want to summarize in our last minute or so. We have Nancy Friedman, the happiness mentor, and her 7 steps. The most important is the last one, the micro actions, because we can all start changing in micro moments. Above that was being present to the moment. Remember, the past is over. The future is not guaranteed. So be present. Focus. Focus on how you want to blossom, how you want to be present. Assumptions. Remember, your reality is an assumption. So you're always assuming. And when you know that you're assuming, recognize that other people have their assumptions, their reality. Communicate human to human assumption and stay curious about my reality versus yours. I'm adding that. Emotions are energy in motion. They are with us always. We are human. And all of the emotions, you're more human if you have more emotions. Yeah. Stop trying to not feel. Use your language wisely, because it's actually your language that is telling you what your sensation is. Your emotion is the connection of language to feeling. And we can play, and I have tools to move up and down and up and down your emotion spiral. And again, start with that inward reflection. Be aware to who you are in this present moment. Focus on you, because your reality starts within. So choose you. Choose how you want to feel. Choose how you want to express it to the world. And I hope in your choosing, you choose flow and happiness, prosper and bloom, as we said. Give yourself to the
world. If you felt something move today, a molecule, a mindset, or your mood, that's healing. Your body listens to your stories, your thoughts, your breath. So speak to yourself with kindness, play with curiosity, and let your nervous system know it's safe to rest. Dr. Tina returns Monday at 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 Central, 9 Mountain, 8 Pacific on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. Remember, pleasure is a practice and play is your medicine. InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. Remember, pleasure is a practice and play is your medicine.